Per the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, it is estimated that more than 13 million households rely on private wells for drinking water in the United States. However, drinking water from private wells can pose potential health hazards. Welcome to Delmarva Today. I'm your host, Harold Wilson. Water is fundamental for human life. Each of us requires at least 5.5 to 13.5 gallons of clean, safe water a day for drinking, cooking, and quite frankly, simply keeping ourselves clean. My guest this morning is Jean Holloway. Ms. Holloway is the Delaware and Eastern Maryland State Manager for the Southeast Rural Community Assistance Project, or SRCAP. SRCAP is a nonprofit organization that helps upgrade water and wastewater systems in small rural towns and communities, in addition to providing other community development services. Ms. Holloway, welcome to Delmarva Today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here, Jean. Tell us about SRCAP and how you serve rural communities across the Delmarva area.
Well, as you said, we are a nonprofit 501c3 regional organization that serves from Delaware down to Florida, seven coastal states. We provide technical assistance and training for rural and low-income communities and residents throughout Delaware and Eastern Maryland, as well as all the other states, with water, wastewater, and solid waste problems. We can help. We're mostly needs driven. We do what the community needs us to do to help solve problems. They come to us with a problem and we help them figure out what to do. We don't tell them what to do. We help them get what they want. So that's kind of in a nutshell what we do.
Well, is there a great need for your services and for clean water and wastewater services on the Delmarva Peninsula?
Well, certainly everybody needs that. And those that are served by community systems have the advantage of knowing that their system is regulated and therefore it's more closely monitored and the water is treated to remove contaminants. Private wells are not regulated by any agency. It's up to the homeowner to keep them safe. And what we find is that a lot of folks don't know that they should test their well. And they figure if the water tastes good and doesn't smell or look funny, that it is good. And that isn't necessarily true. So, our experience is that there's a lot of public awareness, public education that's necessary for people to understand what they do need to do to make sure that their well is safe instead of just assuming it's safe because it tastes good.
Well, I don't want to scare our audience because I feel probably a large number of those listening to us are in fact on wells. The EPA talked about substances such as nitrates, nitrites, arsenic, organic chemicals, and Lord knows what else could be in your water. Is the EPA overstating here, or are you really encouraging people to, in fact, do regular tests on their wells?
Well, we definitely encourage regular testing because the bottom line is you don't know, and it can vary between neighbors, let alone between communities. It depends on the depth of the well. It depends on the soil quality. It depends on the pH. Water is a universal solvent, which means that whatever it goes through or goes through it can be dissolved in the water. So it makes it vulnerable to contaminants, but there are things you can do to protect your water. One of the big things that we see and that I'm particularly aware of in an agricultural area is nitrates, the potential for nitrates because nitrates have no taste, no odor, no color. So you can say, my water's wonderful. My water tastes just fine. But you may very well have a high level of nitrates and not know it. So it's important to test your water periodically. pH becomes a factor because if the pH is low, it means the water's acidic and it's more likely to pick up whatever is going through it or it is going through. So the ideal pH is 7 and the average pH of groundwater is 5.5. So you already start with most groundwater with a pH deficiency, so to speak.
How does one go about getting their water tested? Who do we call?
Well, you're very fortunate if you live in Delaware, because there are test kits available through the Department of Health in each county for $4 any other time of the year. We've recently finished up on a state grant where we were given a certain number of kits and we were giving them out for free. But even at that, they're only $4. In Maryland, you have to contact a private lab that is certified by the state. The test kits in Delaware are tested by the state lab. So it's all very official. There are instructions for taking the samples and things like that. In Maryland, you have to contact a private lab. They will provide you with test bottles and instructions for pulling the sample. And you have to pay, it's usually at least $100, if not a little bit more, to get your water tested, as opposed to $4 in Delaware.
Gene, a little humorous aside, when I have my water tested, am I going to have to set fire to my water spigot?
No. That used to be the method for making sure that the tap was not, make sure the tap was sanitized so you wouldn't get a false positive on bacteria. But there are different methodologies now. I mean, the important thing is to handle the sample bottle as if you were in an operating room and not to touch the bottle or the inside of the cap, et cetera. And if you sneeze, then throw the bottle away and get a new bottle.
I only raised that because we did some water testing when I was doing rural housing work in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And the guy came out and set fire to the water spigot. And
yeah. That used to be, you used to flame the tap before you took a sample, but they don't do that anymore.
Well, that's good to know. I think I am on a well mm-hmm. here on Kent Island mm-hmm. and preparing for my talk with you. I determined very quickly that I need to have my my water tested. I've got a big farm right next to me. Mm-hmm. As an example. But Gene, yeah. Let me ask you, in terms of physical ailments and so forth, if my water is contaminated in certain ways, am I gonna possibly feel that, or my family, are we going to have stomach problems or other kinds of problems, and what should I look at in my water to even though it may be clear, are there other things that may happen to the water that will cause me to say, whoa, I need to get things tested here?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to answer that. In terms of bacteria, chances are you would see some gastrointestinal symptoms. However, if you've been drinking the same water with the same things in it over a period of years, you've built up an immunity to it. That's why you may go on a trip somewhere and drink the water and suddenly you have gastrointestinal upset. But if it's something newly introduced into your water, then yes, you would probably expect to see some sort of symptoms. Nitrates have long-term exposure effects. They have been linked to a number of things. The one thing that is certain is that nitrates affect the body's response or ability to absorb oxygen in the hemoglobin, and they have been linked to blue baby syndrome. It's particularly dangerous for young children under 6 months of age. There have been not a lot of data for people over 6 months of age as to the effect, but there's some thought that it can be linked to stomach cancer. Not for certain causal link, but some indications that it may be. But that's long-term exposure. In the case of bacteria, if it's something newly introduced into your water, you would expect to see more immediate reaction, unless it is, you've already been long-term exposed and you've built up an immunity. So it depends on, again, it depends on what we're talking about, what, and I'm not a medical professional either. So, but yeah, it's all of the regulations that are set forth for drinking water for public systems have to do with exposure over time and the symptoms that are associated with long-term exposure.
Well, how often should I have my well tested? Is there kind of a standard testing period?
Well, there's no, you know, requirement or standard per se. There are rules of thumb, and it's suggested that you have your water tested annually for bacteria, certainly for pH, turbidity, or cloudiness. And there's another tricky thing. Cloudiness can be entrained air. It may not be a contaminant. And one of the things you can do is to pour a glass of clear water and set it on the counter. And if it clears from the bottom up, chances are it's entrained air. If it clears from the top down and you have sediment in the bottom, then you have a particle problem. But just because it's cloudy doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, for one thing. There is a lot of misinformation out there about water and what's in it and what it can and can't do to you. And again, a lot of it has to do with taste, odor, and color. And people assume that makes it fine. You know, I've heard people say my well is so much better than town water because town water tastes like chlorine. Well, it may, but that chlorine is protecting you from bacteria that your right. well might not protect you from. So
at SERCAP, who do you work with generally on the local level? Who gets in touch with you or who do you get in touch with?
Well, there's a variety of answers to that too. We work typically with municipalities, but we can also work with subdivisions that have their own water system. Our programmatic funds require us to work with any community whose population is under 10,000 in population. And in reality, we don't have anything nearly that big. I think our current projects range from a small homeowner subdivision of 16 houses, which has its own water system, up to a town of about 6,000. And our average is right around 1,100, 1,500, if not lower. So we talk to mayors and councils, but we also talk to homeowner association boards. You know, it just depends on the situation. Again, we try to respond to the needs and we get referrals from U.S. Department of Agriculture. We get referrals from personal connections. And it's all about networking and getting the word out that we can help. And then, you know, people somehow seem to find us. Right now with five people on staff, two of whom have been there less than 6 months, we have over 50 active projects just from our office alone. So it's you know, we're trying to help people, but you know, we have to take them as they come too.
What kind of services do you provide? I mean, when towns or well, let's stick with towns first of mm-hmm. all, then we'll talk about subdivisions. But okay. when a town gets in touch with you, what do they want from you, and what generally are you able to provide?
Well, we can provide a wide range of services on, excuse me, on the administrative and financial and management side, whether they need training for their staff or whether they need to be walked through the process of applying for funding. Very often we work with towns that may only have one administrative person. They have a town clerk. We have one small system that only has a part-time town clerk. So we try to fill in the gaps and help walk them through the process of applying. And we do everything from writing the RFPs, the request for proposals for engineering, to helping them rewrite their bylaws if they need to. You know, it's needs driven. We try to do what they need and we try to fill in the gaps. And it's not a matter of doing it for them. It's trying to help them see how to do it. So trying to show them so that they might not, you know, it's like being a parent so that when we get done, maybe they won't need us.
Well, what generally brings them to you for these services?
Well, we may get a referral. I know in Maryland, a lot of times we'll get a referral from Maryland Department of the Environment. They'll say, well, this town's having a problem. Can you go in and help them? We've gotten some projects like that. Others, it may come in from another nonprofit that says, well, they called me, but I really don't have anything can help them. Can you help them? Or we might get a referral from a funder that, for example, such and such a town has been a borrower and they're having trouble keeping their financial compliance with the terms of the loan. Can you go in and look at their financial records and help them? So, you know, that it just, it again, needs driven. We try to do what they need.
Are these towns that, even though they're tiny towns, do they have some kind of municipal system, or are they generally communities whose residents have wells?
Well, we work more with municipalities, and most of the ones we are working with currently have municipal systems, but we have worked in the past with communities that everyone was on wells and they were interested in getting a community system. So we can go in and help them evaluate the options. And this is what, you know, it might cost. I myself do a lot of rate studies. So when a town really throughout all of Maryland and Delaware needs a rate study, a lot of times they'll refer people to us. I've got several underway right now and some out in Western Maryland that isn't even technically speaking our territory. So it just depends.
Well, it sounds like really fascinating work. The money, not just for your organization, but so a small community, 5,000 people, 3,000, wants to create a small municipal system for their cluster of houses in the center of the community. Who do they apply to? Where do they get money to do that?
Well, if they came to us and they had absolutely no community system yet, they were looking to get one, then we would probably start with applying for some sort of a feasibility and planning grant through Maryland Department of the Environment, or a what they call a search grant. And I can't remember what the acronym stands for, but it's basically the same thing through USDA to study the system to come up with options. And then the report would be given to the governing body and say, okay, here's your options. Here's the approximate cost. Here's the options for funding this. Do you still want to do it? Which option do you want? We'll help you. That kind of thing. But the first step would be some sort of a plan forward, whether it was through a grant funded plan or whether it was something that we could help them sit down and evaluate the options. We do some cost benefit analysis too. That's not our forte particularly, but you know, we can help them evaluate the different options. And then we might help them get do a request for proposals to get an engineer to come in and design the eventual system. So we would be with them from square one all the way through to turning the first tap on if that's what they needed.
Can you say in general what their options are? Are there like three major options that they have for funding or no?
Well, I mean, generally we go to, depending on the state we're in, we either go to the what is called the state revolving fund in either state, Maryland or Delaware, or we would go to USDA Rural Development. Those are the two main funders. There are other options depending on what we're talking about. For example, if it were a wastewater system in the Chesapeake Bay watershed, it may be eligible for enhanced nutrient removal grant through the Chesapeake Bay Fund. So the two main ones are the state revolving fund in either state and then USDA.
Tell us how you work with the developers or with associations doing subdivision developments.
We don't really work with the development stage, especially a for-profit developer. We would work with a homeowners association who had a water system, or perhaps they wanted to maybe start testing wells. We would try and help them set up a program like that. But in terms of the actual development process, we don't get involved in that. But for example, I have two small, very small systems, home ownership subdivisions in Southern Maryland. One is 16 homes and one is 24 homes. They each have their own private water system. Their water systems have been in the ground for probably 50 years, so they're starting to need nickel and dime type repairs. We were able to get some free engineering service for one of those systems through the Community Engineering Corps, which is kind of like a domestic version of Engineers Without Borders through the American Water Works Association. They took a whole year because they're doing this on their own time as volunteers, but they did a feasibility study and presented this homeowners board with five different options for what they could do with their water system, including what it would be to turn it over to the county and let the county run the whole thing. In this particular instance, the HOA, Homeowners Association Board, decided to retain ownership themselves because the county option was going to be way too expensive. But that's an example of how we would start out. We don't really get into Mr. Developer wants to come in and put in new houses in a certain area or whatever. If it were inside a municipality and the municipality says, what can we do to extend service to this new development, then we would work with the municipality. But we're generally with low income and rural subdivisions.
Well, I think I read about the town of Ellendale. Am I correct there? Was cited on your website. What was going on in Ellendale and why is this such an exciting venture for you?
That's not a short answer.
Of course not.
I've personally been involved in Ellendale going back before I worked for CERCAP, probably since 2010, I believe, when at the time the town of Ellendale proposed to get a water system that would be owned by the town and serve the rural area around Ellendale. That failed at referendum only because the town's code or charter required them to go to referendum if they borrowed money, and the voters in the town turned it down. Then the county came in and tried to get another county-owned system that would serve the town and the rural areas around it. And the rural areas around the town are the ones that really need the service. The county came in and included the town and the surrounding areas in the referendum, and that failed by 13 votes. So one more time, the county redrew the boundaries and left out the town itself, the town limits, and just proposed a system to serve the rural areas. And it did pass overwhelmingly by about a 2-1 margin. So we're very excited to have been a part of that, but we're also doing other work in a neighborhood in Ellendale called New Hope Road. We've done several community cleanups. We have helped them get temporary bottled water until the new water system can come in. We've helped with testing their wells because their water is absolutely dreadful. The wells are very shallow. And we're trying to do a lot for that community in general, with more to come, we hope. But Ellendale in general is one of my close to my heart projects.
Why do you think the central, we'll call it Central Ellendale, if it's the Ellendale I'm thinking of, it's the Ellendale where you'd better go 25 miles an hour when you're on your way, when you're on your way to the beach, or you'll meet the local constabulary for sure. I'm assuming that's the Ellendale.
Have obviously been to Ellendale.
I have obviously been to Ellendale. I believe I made a contribution to their fund. Once as well. But why would the central community not want the services?
I I can only hazard a guess. I think there was some sentiment that they didn't want to have a water bill. There was also a lot of my water's fine, even though we offered to do free testing
So
to
these are
see if
all
they're
wells.
yes. And there was also some resistance to the idea of it being done by a private system, that the county should have owned it, which now the county is going to own it. So maybe some of that has dissipated. But there was a good bit of resistance based on, well, I don't want to pay a water bill. I don't have a water bill now. I don't want to pay a water bill. Any other motivations, you'd have to ask somebody who actually lives there, because I don't want to hazard a guess.
Well, no, and you can't really. I'm wondering though, if once the system in the county is up and in place and functioning, do you anticipate that that central area will in fact at some point tie in to
I
your
would
system?
not be surprised. Once it's available, as people's wells fail, they certainly would be ahead of the game to hook into the central system rather than drilling a new well.
And the system you're recommending anticipates that that may well happen.
Possibly, and I don't want to speak for the county. The
Oh,
county
well, no,
engineering
you
department
can't.
is, but I would not be surprised if people don't start asking to hook in.
Well, it sounds like you're doing wonderful work. I just have two more questions for you. One, how is
Sure.
SERCAP funded? How do you guys pay get your services paid for?
Well, we are part of a national partnership of six similar organizations, all regional, all standalone 501c3s, but we're part of a national partnership called Rural Community Assistance Partnership. And the national office applies for grants every year through USDA Rural Development, through EPA, and through Health and Human Services, Office of Community Services. And those are our three main big funders that set up our programs and help to fund our staff. Depending on what state we're in, we may have state and private grants as well. We have a number of different small grants small to me, $25,000. It's a lot of money to me personally, but in terms of grants, it's a pretty small grant. We have a number of smaller grants in the state of Delaware. We don't have any really in Maryland yet, but we're working on it.
Well, do you charge the municipalities or the communities for your services?
No, that's exactly what our funding is for, so that we provide these services at no charge to the customer. We may eventually get into some fee for service because we're getting into geographic information systems and mapping and things like that. Right now, our funding provides for us to do one community a year in either of the two states. If we get beyond that, then we may start charging, but right now we don't charge for anything.
Well, if a community wants to inquire about your services and investigate your services, how do they get in touch with you, Jean?
Well, they can go to the website, which is www.sercap.org, and they will find a page for each one of the states in our region. Or they can call our office, which is located in Frankfort, Delaware, and that number is 302-387-1619. And of the five employees, including myself, that office number, if we're not there, if we're in the field or we're working from home, that office number forwards to our various cell phones. So you'll get us one way or the other. My personal email is jholloway@sercap.org.
Well, it sounds as though you and SERCAP are doing an important and an excellent job here on the Delmarva and beyond. I guess I heard you say thank you for your work and thank you for joining me this morning on Delmarva today. And thanks to all of you for listening. I'm your host, Harold Wilson.